listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained and the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome all priests, sisters, deacons, brothers and sisters of divine will, and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy each and every week. And we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven, the soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, it's just a joy to be together. We're thankful to God above all. We're thankful to Radio Maria for this opportunity to come into your homes, your places of work, your cars, or wherever you may be listening today. We have Thanksgiving in the United States and other countries as well. And to give thanks. And I don't think we give thanks enough. I mean, gratitude or ingratitude was what Jesus identified as his greatest sorrow in his humanity. And I know he says that those journeying in the divine will, every day is Christmas. I think that's volume 16, March 26th, 1925. But we can also say that every day is Thanksgiving as well. And I'd like to begin with our catechism, which is always a great way to start. And our catechism, article 1360, states, quote, "The Eucharist is a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Father, a blessing by which the Church expresses her gratitude to God for all his benefits, for all that he has accomplished through creation, redemption, and sanctification. Eucharist means, first of all, thanksgiving." End quote. So the Eucharist means thanksgiving. And as we know that Jesus states that the divine will is greater than the Eucharist, and not because God is greater than God, he can't be, but a perennial communion with God is greater than a 15-minute or 20-minute communion with God, as our church tells us, until the host of the accident dissolves. So if the Eucharist is our form of thanksgiving, I mean, the overarching thanksgiving goes to the gift of living the divine will. And again, ingratitude was one of the biggest pains that that our blessed Lord suffered. And Psalm 94:2 states, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him with psalms." End quote. Mother, can we give our thanksgiving enough, as often as we should, to our blessed Lord for all he's done, and Our Lady for that matter? And
I don't think it's possible to thank him as much as he deserves to be thanked. But I think you have to know, if we continue to do our rounds in divine will, which is a way of thanking him always or very often, it's him thanking his Father in you, that's then you're thanking him very much, you know, that you ask Jesus to thank the Father in you for all these gifts that God has given us in creation, redemption, sanctification. There's so much out there that we never can run out of things we're thanking him for. I was just reading here, I think this is volume 31. It says, "I was thinking of the great human ingratitude that does not let itself be captivated to love him. And my sweet Jesus, surprising me with his heart swollen with love, told me, 'My good daughter, creation was made by our supreme being in order to give love and to receive the requital of the love of the creatures. There is not one thing created by us for which this was not our purpose, to make it in order to receive the requital. Otherwise, our works would not have been communicative, fruitful, nourishing works, and full of life to make man happy. They would have been like painted works, which at the most can attract the sight, but which would do good to no one. On the other hand, by wanting the requital, we placed the communication of the light as though on the way, to give to the creature the life of light and air, to give her the life of respiration and water, food, fire, to give her the life and the good that they possess. And so with all the rest, how many acts of life we placed around the creature in order to grow, nourish, and sustain her life. Now wanting requital for them was a need of our love. Works without requital are works without cortege, without appreciation. And as much as creatures make use of them, they remain isolated works, as if they were not welcome. The requital does not take the work only to make use of it, but enters inside of it to recognize the one who created it for love of her. The requital gives life to gratitude, to thanksgiving. It can be said that the requital maintains the conversation, the friendship, the correspondence between the giver and the one who receives the gift. Otherwise, everything remains broken. So there's so many things we have to be grateful for. Grateful for his love, grateful for the divine will, grateful for all that Luisa suffered for us. We can thank him for all so many things, you know, and we forget about it, you know, but gratitude is so important. Even for our crosses, we can be grateful for our crosses. He said that the ones who suffer the most with resignation have the highest places in heaven. So the cross is the gift. We don't realize the great gift of the cross. The saints, if they could come back to earth to do anything, St. Teresa of Avila said that, it would be that they would want to come back to suffer, because now in heaven, they realize the great value of the cross and what the place that they acquired in heaven because of their suffering on earth. As St. Teresa of Avila said, that she would come back, she would be willingly, she would want to come back to suffer, because her place in heaven was so much higher because of the suffering that she suffered on earth with resignation. Doesn't mean you have to like it, but it means that you have to be resigned to it and realize the great value of it. Luisa longed for that. But you know, there's so many things to be grateful for. Even the smallest, slightest little suffering is a great thing when it's done, when you allow Jesus to come and suffer in your suffering. So when we invite him into all of our activities, and thanking him, invite him to your activities, do those acts in divine will all day long. But then don't forget to do the rounds in divine will. Every time you walk outdoors, putting your I love you in everything you see, all of nature, every animal, every fruit, every vegetable, every blade of grass. There's so many things to thank him for. At night, the stars, the moon, in the day, the sun, all the rays of the sun. I mean, you can go on and on and on. How many animals we can be grateful for. We can put our I love yous on to him for, you know, so it's that gratitude goes so far, because when you put your I love you on all these things and you're grateful for all these gifts, it's actually Jesus in you putting that I love you to the Father. That's why that becomes an eternal round. That I love you never ends. It says, I love you, God. I love you, God, for all eternity from you, because it was a divine I love you that Jesus put on those things for you, which is different than if we did it in a human, it was a human act. It's a divine round, not a human round. So you have to just keep realize that have the knowledge of that. If you have the knowledge of these things, you realize what they're doing. It means a lot more. Our Lord told Luisa, every act and round and divine will has greater value according to the knowledge that we have of these writings and what that means, and the truth about it. These things are really happening. Jesus is really doing all these acts in you when you call him into these activities. Jesus is really putting an I love you on all these things that you're grateful for. You know, you have to believe that. You have to trust in the word that he gave Luisa. And you know that it's true, because as you do that, more and more you're changing. You see yourself changing. You see that you get more joy. You have more peace. Your faith grows. You're just resigned to things more. Things don't bother you the same. So you know that it works, because you see what God is doing in your soul in the process of doing these things.
What about spiders and snakes? Are we thankful for them?
What's that?
What about spiders and snakes?
Yeah, you got to be grateful for that. God has a purpose for all those things.
And that's we might right. Not that's know right. What they are, it's just a bigger test, perhaps.
For us to have the cross, but you know, it's mosquitoes. What's the purpose of mosquitoes? You know, maybe for us to have the gift of the cross. Who knows what the value of these things are for us, you know, but God has a purpose for everything he created. We know that. He doesn't do things uselessly.
That's true. That's true. And you know, Mother, to corroborate that, in volume 18, August 9th, 1925, Jesus explains that. He says, quote, "My daughter, all creative things were nothing other than an act of our will that issued them, nor can they move or change the effects, the position, or the office in which each of them received by its creator. They are nothing other than mirrors in which man was to admire the reflections of the qualities of his creator. In some, the power, in some, the beauty, in other creative things, the goodness, the immensity, the light, etc." End quote. So it's all there to remember, to recognize God. Now, we don't see God in the tree, but we recognize the tree as being a gift and a creation by God. Hello, Sister Francesca.
Hey, Peter. I wanted to share actually a passage from April 16th, 1933. It's volume 32, which is actually a beautiful round of creation. I was reading it this morning, and hopefully it'll help us to be able to recognize, you know, the Lord more as, you know, as creation surrounds us and as we see it. Because I think that's what Jesus is talking about a lot when he says to Louisa often, be faithful and attentive, be faithful and attentive. He wants us to be aware of these things because his love is all around us. We're not even paying attention to it. So hopefully this passage will help give us some food for thought. So Jesus tells Louisa, "My daughter, how welcome to me is your sojourn in the acts that our supreme being did in creation. And that is why I feel enraptured and constrained by my love to tell you the story of love that we had in creation and everything else that we have done solely out of pure love for men. Indeed, you ought to know that our fiat pronounced itself and stretched out the azure heavens, and our love embroidered them with stars, placing in each star an act of continuous love for souls, so that every star says, your creator loves you, nor can he ever stop loving you. We are here and we never move from our places, even a little, so as to always have something to tell you. I love you, I love you. But let us go on. Our fiat created the sun, filled it with so much light that it could give light to the whole earth. And our love threw itself into competition with the sun and filled the earth with innumerable effects of sweetness, varied beauty, colors, and tastes, so that the earth, simply because it was touched by this light, receives these admirable effects as life along with the light's unceasing lullaby. I love you with my lovely sweetness. I love you and I want to make you beautiful. I want to adorn you with my divine colors. And if I adorn the plants for you, I want to make you even more beautiful. Know that I come down in this light, even to you, to tell you with delight, I love you. I take delight in loving you. And I am all ears to hear you tell me, I love you." And actually goes on, it's a little bit of a long passage. I was going to keep reading it, but I think I'll stop here because I think we don't recognize the divine will and all created things around us because we don't trust in God's love enough for each one of us. You know, we know creation was created for man, but I think we have to look at each thing and every beautiful scenery. I just saw a beautiful moon when I was coming back from adoration. The sky was just such incredible colors. And I stopped and thought, you know, that was created for me. It was just for me, just like it was just for you, Peter. It was just for each of us. Everything was just for each of us individually.
True.
And because God delights in us, he loves us. We get so stuck in our miseries and our failings and our weaknesses that it kind of clouds our minds and our eyes that we fail to see all this love. And even when we do see something beautiful, we think, oh, well, you know, that's not for me, or I don't deserve that. God is just so much bigger and greater and more loving and merciful than we can ever imagine. So I think he told that to Faustina once. She was looking at, I think, a beautiful sunrise or sunset. And he told her, he goes, that was created for you. And you know what? We read those things and it's like, oh, cause she was a saint. You know, but she wasn't always a saint. You know, the Lord made her a saint. And it really actually didn't even matter if she was a saint or not, because, you know, none of us deserve what God gave us in creation. He tells that to Louisa. You know, we weren't even around when he created creation. We didn't merit anything. He created it out of his pure, selfless love. So no matter what state you're in, you can still look around at the beauty that surrounds you and realize that that's the love of your eternal Father specifically for you, and that he's looking at you with love and that he's delighting in you. And I think when we realize that, the gratitude just kind of like naturally pours out of us, because there's nothing so delightful to us is when we know that we're loved. And we just want to continue to gush our own love out and our own gratitude for the one that makes us feel so loved. So just maybe a little food for thought for today on Thanksgiving. And then, you know, for every day, just trying to make it, you know, a little habit to really see God's love, his personal love for each one of us and everything that surrounds us.
Yeah, you made a good point also when we, you know, when we're enjoying God's creation, it's as if it was created just for us. In fact, use an example. He says, for example, the ocean. Now, if we're fortunate to be at the beach when there's no one at the beach, that ocean is all ours. It's really created for us. And through our charity, of course, we let other people in. We don't say keep out. That's when I think man has a problem with ego. And, you know, this is mine. This is all God's. But he created it for each and every one of us. He even says, again, going back to that volume 18, August 9th, 1925, he says, "So all our love was centralized in man. And this is why we placed all of creation at his disposal, all ordered around him, that man might make use. He might make use of our works like as many stairs and ways in order to come to us, to know us and to love us," end quote. So again, through those acts and rounds, which Mother reminds us of, remember acts and rounds under M for Mother, they are as if we're ascending, and we are ascending. God is elevating us. He uses those words, and we're doing it step by step, stair by stair. And every time we don't take for granted and we show gratitude, love, and appreciation, we're taking another step. We don't know how many stairs we have to climb, just like we don't know how many acts are in our book of life. All we know is we just keep doing them until our last breath. And that's what we're doing now, hopefully. Right, Mother?
Yeah, his love shouts out to us and all things around us. I mean, he's shouting out to us all around us every day. I love you. I love you. I love you. And we miss it. We don't recognize his love in all of these things. He says, "My daughter," this is in volume 28, "my daughter, the love of my divine will toward creatures is so great that it," the divine will, "assumes all forms in order to give itself to the creature. It assumes the form of heavens to remain stretched out over his head. And by remaining perennially extended, it embraces him from all sides, guides him, protects him, defends him without ever withdrawing, remaining always heavens. In order to form its heaven in the heart of the creature, it assumes the form of stars, and it makes its meek twinkling sweetly descend upon the creature to caress her with its kiss of light and penetrate sweetly into her, that it may form the stars of the most beautiful virtues in the heaven of her soul. It assumes the form of sun to irradiate her with light, and with its vibrant heat descend into the depth of her soul. And with the strength of its light and heat, it forms the tints of the most beautiful colors in order to form the sun of its fiat in the creature. It assumes the form of wind to purify her. And with its empire blowing, it maintains a divine life lit. And as it blows, it makes it grow in the heart of the creature. My divine will lowers itself to everything, and its love is so great that it constitutes itself life of everything that can serve the creature. And it reaches the point of assuming the form of air to let itself be breathed, of food to nourish her, of water to quench her thirst. In sum, there is nothing in which the creature makes use in which my will does not run together in order to give itself incessantly the creature. But how does she correspond to me, to the many multiple ways which my fiat assumes in order to besiege the creature, to the so many loving forms that such, if she does not recognize it in one way, she may recognize it in another? in one form does not breach into the other, into her. Another might breach through her, through to receive at least a gaze, a smile of satisfaction, an invitation to let it descend into her soul to reign, a thank you of gratitude at its so many follies of love. Ah, how many times my divine will is left there with the creature paying no attention to it. What sorrow, how pierced it remains. But in spite of this, it does not stop. It continues incessantly and with its firmness, all divine, to make its divine life flow within all created things, to offer beneath their veil its life to all, waiting with invincible patience for one who must recognize it and receive it so as to form its life under human appearances and form and therefore reign completely in all things created by us. So everywhere, God is everywhere. God is all around us. And he just wants us to recognize his love. Even he was reading the other day in the ground that we walk on, his divine will keeps it stable so that we can walk, you know, and so every step that we make is an I love you, you know, that we have stable ground to walk on. He's functioning within us. He's walking within us. He's speaking within me right now. You know, we have to be grateful for all these gifts he gave us, that we can communicate, we can hear, we can see, we can breathe, you know, all the functions of our body that he made perfectly, you know, for us to continue to live. So, you know, let's take this time now. November's the time, a month, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's coming up soon. To learn how to do rounds of Thanksgiving more on a daily basis throughout the day. And you're going to find how much joy that gives you, much more than if you lament over things, and be grateful for everything that happens to you that may be a difficult trial or something, because God uses everything and brings it about to a greater good for each one of us. He loves us so much.
Amen. And you know, Mother, Thanksgiving is closer than we think. It really is. It's beautiful. You know, we're going to go into the break in a few moments. You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our homes. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the Divine Will with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. Mother, I'd like to go into the break with a small quote from the 13th hour of the Hours of the Passion. And I'll state this right now. Quote, Holy Father, and this is actually Louisa speaking. Holy Father, I give you thanks for all I have suffered and for all that is left for me to suffer. My Jesus, love with no boundaries, I unite myself to you. And I too thank you for all that you have made me suffer and for all that is left for me to suffer. And I beg you to make the dawn of grace arise within all hearts so that you, Divine Son, may rise again in the hearts and reign over them. End quote. How beautiful. So in essence, we finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally. I finally arrived here. And welcome back, everyone, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone back to the School of Mary, Kindergarten of the Divine Will. And I'm going to just do some minor adjustments here quickly, if I may. It's a beautiful song also. I think we should actually keep this going if we could, though I know we can't. Today is another song that that Christina has written and composed. And again, another appropriate, I mean, she doesn't know the Divine Will. I mean, she doesn't really know it in detail. I mean, she knows what I've told her, and it's very little. But see how we're able to see through this new veil, through this new lens. We see the Divine Will in everything. It was always there. We just never noticed, and now we're noticing everything. Mother, you know, we mentioned, we started off the program with talking about the catechism in the Eucharist being the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the ultimate sacrifice of thanksgiving. I want to go to the hours of the Passion once more, the 24th hour, no, actually the fourth hour, I'm sorry, the Eucharistic Supper. This is really incredible. And it starts out, quote, "My sweet love, always insatiable in your love, I see that as you finish the legal supper together with your dear disciples, you stand up. And united with them, you raise the hymn of thanksgiving to the Father for having given you food, wanting to repair for all the lack of thanksgiving of the creatures, and for all the means he gives us for the preservation of corporal life. This is why, O Jesus, in anything you do, touch, or see, you always have on your lips the words, thanks be to you, O Father." End quote. Again, we're just we're being led by example. If our Lord can give thanksgiving and gratitude at every moment and everything he says, why can't we? Back to you, Mother and sisters.
Hi, hello, Peter. Hi, everyone. Today I would like to read from volume 29, May 19, 1931. It's a long passage, so I'll just read some pieces of it. And it says, "My daughter, my love was not extinguished because of the fall of men, but became more ignited. And even though my justly punished him and condemned him, my love, kissing my justice without delay, promised the future Redeemer and said to the deceitful serpent, with the empire of my power, you have made use of a woman to snatch men from my divine will, and I, by means of another woman who will have in her power to the power of my fiat, will knock down your pride, and with her immaculate foot, she will crush your head." And when I was reading this passage, I was thinking how we are different from God, because when someone does something to us, our automatic reaction is, okay, I'm not going to trust you anymore, or I don't know, we don't trust the person entirely. But Jesus, God, in this passage tell us that he loves us anyway, and his love is so much that he didn't want to punish us after the fall of Adam. His justice is always justice, but at the same time his love is so much that he gave us our Redeemer, so he gave us Jesus. And also he said how the Virgin Mary is a very powerful woman. And later in this book he said the enemy felt such power in her, the Virgin Mary, that knocked him down, and he did not have the strength to go near her. And then, therefore, the Queen of the Heaven was and is the terror of hell. And so we really have to stay close to the Virgin Mary, because she will protect us. She will fight for us during our spiritual wars. And she will look after us. She will do everything for us if we ask her. So she really
is a mother, and we need to be thanked to God that for the gift of the Virgin Mary, for the gift of the Celestial Mother, and to try also to call her every day on everything we do. And if we don't have a this close relationship with the Virgin Mary, we should maybe do a consecration to the Virgin, to the Sacred Heart of Mary, and she will help, especially against the evil one. I remember, I don't know where I read it or I heard it, that the Virgin Mary can. The demon are terrorized even only of a look of the Virgin Mary. So that means just that we can imagine how powerful she is. So if we are close to her, if we stay close, praying the rosary and be close to her, she will definitely protect us immensely. And then still in the same passage, he say, as he was assured that she whom he feared was the most holy virgin, and being unable to fight her anymore, he resumed his round. He is all eye, and saw on the lookout to see whether another woman might have the task from God to make the divine will, not in order to make it rain. And having seen you write so much about my fiat, at the mere doubt that this might be it, he roused the whole of hell against you. This is the cause of everything you have suffered, as he made use of wicked men, having them make up calumnies and things that do not exist. Here, Jesus was talking to Luisa, and how because she was writing the books of the divine will, so the evil one wasn't happy, so he basically made a lot of bad things for her. And I was thinking how many times people read the divine will, and suddenly I heard once that they say it seems like you get closer to Jesus, and it seems like the crosses, you have more cross, that's a good sign, and it means that the other one, he really hates so much the divine will that he will, after maybe reading the divine will, you can experience that the crosses are more than before, but that it's because the other one hated so much that it will try to obstaculate in any time. But that we have to not to worry, but to stay close to the Virgin Mary, that she will protect us. And in fact, at the end of this passage, it say, since the Celestial Lady is the true queen of the kingdom of my will, it is her task to help and teach the fortunate creature who want to enter to live in it. She's always next to us, and maybe even when we start reading the books of the divine will, our every day, we can ask her to stay close to us. She will anyway, but we can ask her to protect us from distraction or from everything. So we have to be really thankful to God for the gift of the Virgin Mary.
That's right. You know, Sister Gemma, that's something we have to remember more often too. I know I don't, I should. And you mentioned about her humility, how powerful it was. You know, in the City of God, Blessed Mary Agreda, the first encounter with Satan was very interesting, because they came trying to deflect her humility. Oh, beautiful virgin. Oh, woman of what? You know, blah, blah, blah. They were just trying to flatter her so that she would lose her humility, but she stayed humble. And Jesus tells us that the key to humility is confidence. When we have confidence, we're humble. There's nothing we have to prove. We know what we know, and we know that we know it. I guess if that makes any sense. Hello, sister. ¿Cómo está, Calapo?
Okay lang po. Thank you. Anyways, I just would like to continue with your opening passage about the Eucharist. the Catechism. And I found in volume 6, actually, a connection of the Eucharist, since Eucharist was given to us through the cross. And you mentioned about the Passion, and really that's the birth of the church, because when Jesus was hung on the cross, and I remember Scott Hahn was giving us a lecture and also his book called The Fourth Cup. And he did mention the Thanksgiving sacrifice that Jesus left out when the Last Supper. He was supposed to do the cup of Thanksgiving, but he left that out, and they went to the garden to continue his Passion. But his fourth cup happened on the cross, when blood and water gushed forth from his side, the birth of the church, and he gave us his body in the Eucharist. So I would like to read to you volume 6, and I think it has a connection to the Eucharist, the cross, and then the mother was talking about the creation and all that. So anyway, December 22, 1903. So Jesus telling you, Louisa, my daughter, in the creation, I give my image to the soul. In the incarnation, I give my divinity, divinizing humanity. So basically, during the creation, God created man in his image and likeness. But then when he was incarnated in the womb of the Blessed Mother, he divinized humanity. So that's big, because we lost our divinity. Adam lost divinity when he sinned, that separated himself from God. So God had to be God had to be incarnated to divinize, to return us back to God. And then he continues here. And since in the very act in which the divinity incarnated itself in humanity, in that very instant, it incarnated itself in the cross in such a way that from the moment I was conceived united with the cross. It can be said that just as my cross was united with me in the incarnation, which I did in the womb of my mother, so does my cross form as many other incarnations of mine in the wombs of souls. And just as the cross forms my incarnation in souls, the cross is the incarnation of the soul in God, destroying in her everything that gives of nature, and filling her with the divinity so much as to form a sort of incarnation, God in the soul and the soul in God. This is beautiful, because Christmas is coming up also. And so there is the excesses of love. And so Jesus was explaining to us that how much he suffered inside the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So basically there is a fusion of God and man. And this fusion is through the cross. It is through the cross, because then according to Jesus here, God in the soul, because God was incarnated through the cross in the womb of Mama Mary, and then soul in God, because God, Jesus, divinized the cross. I continue, I remained as though enchanted in hearing that cross in the incarnation of the soul, and who repeated, I am not saying union, but incarnation, because the cross penetrates so deep into her nature as to make her nature itself become suffering. And where there is suffering, there is God. And as God and suffering cannot be apart. This was what Sister Gemma was mentioning earlier about suffering, you know, because suffering and sanctity cannot, God and cross cannot be separated. So the only way a soul can be returned to the Father is through the cross. And then he continued here. And the cross forming this sort of incarnation renders this union more stable, and the separation of God from the soul almost as difficult as it is separating suffering from one's nature. On the other hand, through union, separation can easily occur. It is understood always, this is not the incarnation, but a simile of the incarnation. So it's not just union, it's incarnation. And then continues here, having said this, he disappeared, but after a little while, he came back in the act of his Passion, when he was covered with opprobriums, with ignominies, with spit, and I said to him, Lord, teach me what I could do in order to move these opprobriums away from you and give you back honors, praises, and adorations. And he said to me, my daughter, around my throne there is a void, and this void must be filled with the glory that creation owes me. So one who sees me despised by the other creatures and honors me, not only for herself, but for others, make honors for me arise again in the void. When she sees me unloved and loves me, she makes love for me arise again. When she sees that I fill creatures with benefits, while they are not grateful to me and do not even thank me. And she is grateful to me as if those benefits were given to her, and she thanks me. She makes the flower of gratitude and of thanksgiving arise again for me in this void. And so with all the rest of the creation owes me, but denies to me with awful ingratitude. Now, since this is an overflow of the charity of the soul, who gives me not only what she herself owes me, but does for others what overflows from herself. Since this glory and these flowers that she sends to me into this void around my thrones are the fruit of charity, they receive a tint more beautiful and more pleasing to me. So not only we are grateful for all the suffering that Jesus did for us on the cross in his incarnation, that he suffered from the moment he was incarnated up to his death, we should be grateful for all of that. And when we go to Mass and receive the Eucharist, that very act of receiving the Eucharist with full belief in his body, blood, soul, and divinity, with all the reverence that we can give all of our heart and soul and desire, everything, that is our return of thanksgiving back to him in the Eucharist. Going to Mass is not an ordinary thing. It is not an or it's a very, very important thing, an adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. And not only that, Jesus explained earlier, Mother mentioned this in Peter, you repeated volume 18, that creation serves man and man serves God. So we see God, creation teaches us about God, about his love, his beauty and everything, but creation doesn't have a will. So it remains static. It doesn't grow. It cannot make its own decision. It's a mute love. He cannot say, I love you to God verbally. But we serve God, and through this creation, because now we can have better understanding of God and we have our will, our human will makes us capable to grow, make us capable to become like God. When we, our human will, we use it to exchange with the divine will, then we can fully benefit the gift of the divine will. It is possible for us to possess the divine will. So,
yes, and all that we can do on behalf of all in this new dimension, this paradigm shift that we really can't understand fully, but we just know that we can do it not just for ourselves, not for our family, not for those just around us, but for all souls, past, present, and future. That is astonishing. Mother, sisters?
So just Sister Madalena was speaking and talking about the gratitude. Actually, the person from the Bible that first comes to my mind when we talk about gratitude is Mary Magdalene. I mean, how much she messed up and all. And then actually, if it weren't for these things from her past, like maybe she wouldn't be the chosen one by Jesus, you know, to be so close to him. And really, when you're forgiven so much, you're just so thankful that it's like very natural that you just, out of gratitude and out of love, you just want to, you know, give God this requital of love on maximum, whatever you can. And the maximum is, you know, to love him in the divine will, to do just, you know, everything possible, to do the acts and rounds, to try to, you know, to give him this requital of love that he deserves. So I mean, I can say also from my experience, I really, you know, like I messed up in life and all, and just when I was, you know, at the bottom, and then God forgives you and gives you so much mercy. And I can say all these things from the past. I was just talking with Sister Gloria before, like how much of these things actually that at that moment we were thinking they're bad actually brought us, you know, to this point of knowing the divine will. And maybe, you know, like everything is in God's plan. He was kind of disposing us to be open to, you know, to receive that knowledge and to be able to receive the gift. So I was just reading from volume 23, January 6, 1928, how the divine will is immense, and in issuing the creatures to the light, it keeps them within itself like many little dwellings. the ingratitude of those who do not let it rain, harmony between God and man, how he was to receive always from God in order to give him always. So Jesus says to Louisa, my daughter, not doing my will seems something trivial to creatures, but it is an evil so great and an ingratitude so awful that there is no evil similar to it. After this, I was continuing my round in the divine fiat, and as I arrived at the point in which God created man, I thought to myself, why did he rejoice so much in creating him that he did not do with all the other things he created? And my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, in creating the whole creation with such order and harmony, we gave of our own and were to receive nothing from it. But in creating man, while giving of our own, we gave him the capacity to give us our very gifts as goods belonging to himself, in such a way that we were to give always, so much so that a contest was to arise between him and us, we in giving and he in receiving, he in giving to us, and we in lavishing our gifts yet more abundantly upon him. This giving and receiving, receiving and giving, opened the feasts, the games, the joys, the conversation between creator and creature. So in seeing the littleness of the creature celebrate with our supreme height, amusing itself, rejoicing, conversing with us, we felt such joy, such emphasis of love in creating man, that all other created things seemed nothing to us compared to the creation of man. And if all of them seemed beautiful to us and worthy of our works, and our love ran in all created things, it was because they were to serve us to abound in gifts toward man, and from him we awaited the requital of love of all created things. So it says here, it's really a mystery, this giving and receiving, how really Jesus just wants us to, you know, to receive, to be open. And because we are limited creatures, so many times we really just forget, you know, that God wants to give us everything, even himself. And actually suffering is so good and useful to remind us of that. I mean, it just crossed my mind, like my grandparents used to tell me, you know, the stories from the Second World War. When they were kids, and how they were rejoicing, you know, over such a small things that seemed so trivial, you know, like over a sugar cube, you know, or a pair of socks, and you know how really it is very easy to forget, you know, to forget all the gifts we have. And also another thing that crossed my mind, like we were listening to one talk by I don't remember the name of that father, so how to conquer evil, the temptations from evil, like with obedience, and to find something to be grateful for.
Thank you, Sister Dorf. That was beautiful, very beautiful. Mother, we've got about a minute or two. Any closing thoughts before we sign off?
Well, let's see. I was just going to read a little thing here. It's a thing. We don't have much time, but let your memory be the bell that rings within you constantly and reminds you of what I have done and suffered for you, and of how many graces I have given to your soul, so as to thank me and be grateful to me, since gratitude is the key that opens the divine treasures. Let your intellect think of nothing and occupy itself with nothing but God. If you do this, I will find again my image in you, and I will take the satisfaction which I cannot receive from the other creatures. And you must do this continuously, because if the offense is continuous, continuous must be the satisfaction. So we must thank him continuously with our lives.
Amen. Continuously, I think, is a really important word. And I think we've learned a lot of lessons today, Mother. We learned that if we're in adoration and we really can't find anything to say to Jesus, just I love you and I thank you. And then I'm sure the influx of what will be known after that will fill our minds with that. You know, I'd like to end, Mother, with this small little quote from Volume 35, January 7th, 1938. You know, we have a lot of talk on the airwaves now about refuges and finding places to hide and where to go. And you know, I think throughout 2,000 years, we've missed it. The greatest refuge we have is the refuge of the blue mantle of Our Lady. But our Lord says this. You know, remember, he says also, you haven't come looking for me, so I've come looking for you. Well, here he turns it all around again. Volume 35, January 7th, 1938. He says, quote, see then, in one who lives in our divine will, we find the refuge of our life. And we do nothing other than exchange our lives continuously. She gives us hers, and we give her ours. End quote. It really is that simple. We really have finally arrived. God's given us everything. He's brought us back to the other side. You've been listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our homes. Remember also, Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. So if you can, please give generously to radiomaria.us. We thank you. We bless you. And we thank God for this opportunity. And hopefully we'll be back on Thursday. Thanks be to God for everything. Bye, everyone.